Hello, I'm Gail Swift, and today I am reading from the Growing Intentional Families Together blog, dated February 1st, 2023, entitled, A Gift-Giving Perspective for Adoptive Families. Since the purpose of this blog is to meet the needs of adoptive families and those considering adopting, what unique factors complicate the art of gift-giving and its connection to relationship-building within the context of an adoptive family? It's February, so everyone's media platforms will be filled with messages about how we can show our families and friends that we love and value them. Much of the focus will be on what we should buy. We will be bombarded by the idea that stuff is the most valuable gift we can give. We will be encouraged to make the grand gesture, purchase the expensive gift, and to present it with the flair of a TV production. The pervasive cultural message is that one's esteem for the person is defined by the expense of the gift. We will feel the pressure of this presupposition both as givers and as recipients. Understandably, we don't want to hurt our loved ones, nor do we want them to be disappointed or angry with us. So we make the purchase and spend the money, even though deep inside we recognize that gifts cannot come close to expressing the esteem and affection we wish to express. Deep in our hearts, we all know better, and yet the juggernaut that is American marketing strives to make us forget this truth. Anyone who has ever raised a child or been a child knows that a gift, regardless of how expensive or desired, can never fully substitute for genuine validation and affirmation. The truth is perfectly captured in the excited squeal of a child earnestly hooting, "Watch me! Look, look, watch me!" And lest we think it's only kids who crave attention, appreciation, and validation, a quick bit of introspection will remind us of our own similar needs. Even as adults, we enjoy the attention of loved ones and peers. We also delight in receiving and giving gifts and grand gestures. Of course, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with gift-giving. We all enjoy presents, as long as we keep in mind what they can and cannot do. Both as givers and recipients, it is important to keep in mind financial realities so that expectations are grounded in reality. It is a good idea to periodically have conversations with our loved ones, especially our significant other, about how our family values will guide our buying decisions. We should hold similar age-appropriate family conversations with our children so that they can learn to ground their expectations in reality. Again, let's concentrate on how adoption might be a factor in gift-giving. Fear of rejection and/or shame might come into place if an adopted child feels the gift's value equates with their own self-value. So anything less than the grandest gesture might be perceived as insulting or hurtful. It's important to help them revise this belief and to ground their expectations in financial reality. This is not a once-and-done conversation. It's a topic that needs to be explored regularly, not just prior to an upcoming gift-giving event. Identity issues might be operant if a child senses that a gift reflects what they know to be their authentic selves, or if it does not. For example, if they have a passion for music and receive yet another sports-connected gift from a parent or other relative, they may experience the gift as agenda-laden, offensive, and clueless. They will see it as a transparent effort to push them away from their genuine interest and force them into something for which they have little or no interest or aptitude. Another connection to identity is pertinent here. Adult adoptees regularly advise that they felt hurt when their parents referred to them as gifts, like they were being commodified and equated to things like bicycles, puppies, or other things that can be bought. When we want to reflect the joy our children's presence brings to us, it is best to avoid any language that describes our children as gifts. Let's circle back to an idea mentioned earlier, that undivided, freely, and enthusiastically given attention is one of the most valuable presents. It is also one of the best ways to support our children, strengthen our connection, increase their confidence, and build capability. Our time and attention are truly the pearls of great price. Dispense them with intention, affection, and a deeply held belief that our attention is the treasure, not a trifle. Here is a practice to help you visualize this point. Imagine setting up a balance scale. On one side, place 15 minutes of fully focused interaction spent with your significant other. On the other side of the balance scale, place an hour of half-heartedly exchanged conversation with them while they scrolled through texts and emails. Multitasking. On balance, which do you sense has the better value for your relationship, sense of intimacy and connection? What parallels can you draw about the quality of the time spent with your children? Because I live in South Florida, where it's warm most of the year, many of our local shops display a sign that reads, quote, "No shirt, no shoes, no service," close quote. When it comes to our relationships with loved ones, we might coin another maxim, quote, "No attention, no focus, no connection. Proximity alone is not enough," close quote. We must be present, engaged, and attuned. Multitasking does not work when it comes to building intimacy and connection. During the month of February, make a commitment to carve out dedicated, undivided, focused time with each of your loved ones. Set up these interactions in ways that can help ensure that interruption will be unlikely. Each night before turning out your light, consider for each of your loved ones how you connected that day. Jot down the amount of time, the activity, and what you observed before, during, and after you engaged with them. At the end of the month, assess what benefits you created for yourself and your family. As coaches, we find much value in Gary Chapman's concept of love languages. We have mentioned his books many times in our blogs over the years. Check out his author page on Amazon to see his many titles. His books include titles aimed specifically at couples, parents, teens, young children, etc. Here are a few of our best blogs on the subject of love languages. We believe that they are well worth a read or a reread. The active links can be found on the written version of this blog on our website at giftfamilieservices.com. Here are the titles. First, The Language of Love Has Many Dialects. Next, Listening and Speaking, Two Sides of Relationship Communication. Next, The Power of Saying, I Love You. Next, Love Languages, Adoption and the Anger Connection. And finally, Create a Memorable Holiday, Focus on Strengthening Connection. We invite you to listen to our podcast, which is called Essentials for Adoption Attuned Parenting. It also can be found on our website, giftfamilieservices.com. And we invite you to read books written by our coaches. These include ABC Adoption and Me for little kids, We're Adopted, So What? For middle schoolers. And finally, Reimagining Adoption, What Adoptees Seek from Families and Faith. And finally, we ask you to remember that adoption matters. Talk about it, read about it, learn about it. Oh, and by the way, we're pleased to announce that very soon we will be launching our course called Is Adopting Right for You? Stay tuned for more information, and thank you for listening.